Good to see everyone out this morning. We'd like to welcome our visitors, and if it's your first time visiting, we sure are glad to have you. There's restrooms out each one of these doors, and just make yourself at home. And boy, looking forward to this morning. We've already had a great Sunday school class. I about preached my whole sermon in Sunday school, so if this bunch leaves and gets up, they've done heard it. So, but we are having a good, had a good class, and excited about what God's doing in our church. It's our building out here is looking great. Had some, they had their Women's Day yesterday, and I was here for just a few minutes as they were starting, and some ladies pulled up, and they were starting to walk down that building. I said, not yet. Maybe the next one, but not yet. And the building's looking great. We've got our sidewalk poured this week, and of course the parking lot is, we could stop right now, and we've been blessed with that parking lot out there. So just give God the thanks for what he's doing. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? I know we have one here that's had surgery this week, and she's dedicated. She's here this morning, but the Lord blessed them and didn't have as much damage as they thought, so she's going to be able to be up and about a little quicker than they first thought she would be. So remember her. And we've got some going through treatments, cancer treatments and different things. And y'all remember Stephanie this morning? I got in trouble last week with that little devil quote I said about her, and she listened. I didn't think she listened. She went back on Facebook and listened to the message. And so I had to explain that the whole week. And I stayed in trouble all day Sunday. I told the little joke about Pat's potato joke, and I've just been in trouble the whole week. So I'm going to try to do better this Sunday. Do we have any more prayer requests today?
Billy Williamson.
Remember that. It's one of Misty's friends. Dad had a hip replacement surgery, I think it was, and got to have open heart this same week. So it's, y'all remember him.
Remember Lee Barbara?
Yes. I had mentioned her this week, and she said that some of the same symptoms was there when she went through the cancer before. So she's, of course, worried as
huh? Yesterday was her birthday.
Okay.
She was gonna come today.
She's been through a tough time. So y'all remember her. And, a praise report. The guy we requested prayer for several weeks, Heath Cash, went by and saw him yesterday. He had one that had the tumor removed from his spine. He is doing good. He's still not able to walk like he wants to right now, but he is improving, and he is really, he's a different person. When I talked to him yesterday, you could tell the humbleness, and there was some men there building him a ramp for his wheelchair he's in now for a little while, and he was real upbeat. He said, you know, this thing, this ramp's temporary anyway. Y'all ain't got to make it real good, because I'm going to walk. So appreciate that attitude, and ask the Lord to continue to bless him. Any other prayer requests? None. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll start our song service. Father, we come to you today thanking you for this day you've blessed us with. Father, I thank you for each one, Lord, that's come out today. Father, I pray that you speak to them through your word. God, there's nothing I can say that can change one life, but God, one word from you can make a difference in somebody's life today. And God, I pray that we leave here different than when we came in. God, I pray for all these prayer requests that's been made known. Lord, I ask that your will be done in each situation. God, most of all, I pray for souls to be saved. God, I pray for each person that's in this building. Lord, I pray if they don't know you, they will before they leave. And God, if not today, that Lord, you give them a chance before it's everlasting too late. And God, I pray that you keep we have ones traveling and different things. God, I pray you keep them safe. We have ones that's working today. Members of our church has to work. And God, we pray that you touch them and Lord, just bless them. Father, we have shut-ins, Lord, in our church that's not able to come right now. We pray that you touch them. And God, just help us to be there for them. And Lord, just let them know that they're loved. God, all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, oh, there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, for blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. Choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Let's take time to welcome each other this morning.
Man.
I was feeling that breeze, singing like a song through the tall oak trees. Just another summer night, had to be the last thing on my mind. Yeah, I was all but lost in the
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it, for the Master's on board.
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it, for the Master's on board. Steadfast, you have Jesus on board. No storm has ever troubled our Lord. No one knows what life's gonna bring, but you're safe. You are a child of the King. So I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday I'll be holding on to His nail-scarred hands. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on, going on. We gotta hold.
Several months or weeks, their singing has improved. I think they're trying to improve me. They're trying to pressure me to be better. But again, good to have everyone out this morning. And those in Sunday school, of course, you've already got a little example of what the message is about this morning. But the Lord put a message on my heart this week about what's shaping you. What's shaping you? We are all shaped by something. And I'm not talking about chocolate or ice cream or any of that shaping you. I'm talking about your makeup. What is you? What's shaping you? And the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 12 is where we're going to be. Romans chapter 12. I'll read verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. And as you're turning over there, I want you to think about this morning, that this scripture talks about our mind, about renewing our mind. And I began looking up about the mind of human beings and about our minds, and nobody really knows where our mind's at. Of course, we think it's in the brain, but scientists don't know if it's all contained there. They don't know what decides what we are, what our personality is, what our makeup is. But if you look up the word mind, it means that our person. It means our personality, means our consciousness, means how I am, and all this stuff is what our mind is. And I began researching about how powerful our minds are. And Corey's going to know that I messed a bunch of these words up when I tell about this. But your mind, if it is in the brain, you understand something. That the human mind is the most complex thing outside of the Holy Spirit of God The human mind is the most complex thing on the earth. The human mind is the most powerful thing outside of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the most powerful thing on earth is the human mind. Now I began looking up, and China has come up with a pretty good computer, Corey. It's called the Sunway, and it's got a Chinese word after it that I can't even come close to. I do good enough to pronounce a little bit of English, but China has come up with this computer. It's called a supercomputer, and this thing takes up an entire building, and it takes enough power to run a small city, and it costs $376 billion. Now think about that. Of all this money it takes, and this thing got all this, and the power of it, Corey, and you'll have to help me here, is 125 petaflops. Does that make sense to anybody? Because it don't to me. But the flop has got this acronym for a word, but this thing has got all this power, and it takes up all this space. It has to be cooled by outside sources, and it does all this. It's just amazing what this thing will do. And it's only for about four reasons is why they built it. For weather, something to do with the weather, and three other things they built it for. But this thing, as grand as it is, and China's so proud of it because they've got the best computer in the world. But this computer, in all of its greatness and all it can do, it takes it 40 minutes to map 1 second of the human brain. Think about that a minute. It takes it 40 minutes to map 1 second of the human brain, and it still is not, and that's just on calculations. And to let you think about this, is what that petaflop means is that's a quadrillion calculations per second. That blows my mind, because I know nothing about computers. I'm just sounding smart because I've read it. But this thing is extremely powerful, and it's extremely useful for what it's useful for. But all it is, it can't even come close to our minds. It can't even come close to what God has put in your minds. And the memory of this thing is just unbelievable of what it knows, but it cannot do anything close to your human mind. You see, all the scientists, what they're having problem with on these computers is they say everything's going to face recognition. But the problem they have is that with people, we tend to lose weight, or we gain weight, or we get facial hair, or we age, or whatever it is. And these supercomputers cannot recognize a face that's aged. It cannot recognize a face that has lost weight or gained weight or changed in any form. Or if we've grown facial hair, it cannot recognize it. But guess what? The mind God's given you, you know what it can do? You can be away from somebody for 20 years. I was just, Danny Turner, he was in our meeting Wednesday night. Hadn't been around Danny much, but when he walked through the door, my mind says, that's Danny Turner. You went to school with him 10 years ago. I got to get behind there before I start lying. But he said, you went to school with him. You was raised with him. He is the same age you are. And my mind recognized Danny's face. But the greatest supercomputer in the world cannot do that. But God fashioned your mind where you can recognize a face, even if they have lost weight or they've gained weight or they had facial hair or they aged or whatever it is. Your mind can recognize it because God made that thing that great. And you can remember stuff that happened 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. You can remember them things. And I began reading. I began thinking, God, I know I can remember when I was 5 years old. I know I can remember when I was 10 years old. And I can remember when I was 20 years old, when my kids was born. And I can remember when I was married. But why in the Lord can I remember why I went to the next room over? I began thinking about that. And it all goes back to we have so much in there. But listen, what I'm telling you is your mind is extremely, extremely powerful. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God made you just like you are, and in all his greatness. And Terry, I begin to think about this. If my mind can do all that, what must the mind of God be? How big must the mind of God be? And how great must the mind of God be? And the Bible tells me that if I'm in him, I can have that mind. And I can understand some things that God's now never understand everything God does, because he says his ways is higher than my ways. And his thinking is higher than my thinking. In my mind, it takes the best supercomputer in the world to 40 minutes to track 1 second of even my mind. And then guess what? God has made me pretty wonderful. And my God is pretty powerful. And he tells me something in these scriptures in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we thank you again for this day. Lord, I thank you for this word. God, give us the word to preach. Help us apply it. to our hearts and lives. Lord, all these blessings we ask in your name. Amen. I want you to look at these two words for just a minute. These two words for just a little bit. That first one was conform. And I began looking at this thing, and I was about to have a shouting fit down yonder, and I'm thinking about where we at and how God lets us know things. But listen, the meaning of conform means to become like what is expected from an outside source. To be conformed, it means to become like what is expected from an outside source. And now if you go to play football, the coach is going to try to conform you to a certain way of doing things, right, Landon? If you go to be a firefighter, they're going to conform you of how you do things. And it's for your safety. It's for the safety of your men. It's for the safety of the people you're protecting. And whatever it is, if you're going to play piano pad, your teacher conformed you how to play that. She shaped you into what she wanted you to be. So there's pressure put on us from the outside. So that's why the Bible tells us to be not conformed to the world. Listen, they're putting pressure on us from every side. The young people deal with it every single day. You got to be a certain height. Listen, I was made fun of all through school. You're sitting there right now making fun of me because I'm short. There's not a thing I can do about it. I can lose weight, I can gain weight, but I cannot get any taller. I cannot get any prettier because it's just be hard to do, Pat. I just can't do any of that stuff. But listen. Where pressure's put on us all the time. These young girls are told a certain weight they're supposed to be from the outside world. These young boys is told how muscular they're supposed to be from the outside world. We're told what our hair design should look like. We're told what shoes we're supposed to wear. We're told all this stuff we're supposed to be. We constantly under confirmation that we're being squeezed on every side to become something that looks like the rest of the world. Are we not? You be honest with me today. That's how everything in the world is sold today, because they're trying to conform our minds to this stuff. They say you got to have this type of pickup truck because it'll do this. You got to have this type of computer because it'll do this. You got to have this type of shampoo because it'll make your hair look like Michaela's. And we know that's great. But if it said look like Logan's, wouldn't nobody buy it? Amen. But it tells us of everything we got to have. So we're constantly being squeezed into a mold that we think the world's supposed to be like. And we do it. Listen, nobody wants to stick out. We don't wear clothes completely different than somebody else. We don't wear a pair of glasses that look completely different from most people do. We don't wear shoes that's that much different. That's why we go through fads. They sell this type of shoes for this many years. They sell this type and everybody buys that type. And everybody tries to look one another because we conform in to what the world says it's supposed to look like. And listen, I understand that. I've been a young person, and I guess I've grown out of it, because it don't take much looking at me to know I hadn't conformed to them styles. My hair, Stephanie says I have preacher hair, whatever that's supposed to mean, because when I comb it to the side, she says I look like some of them old preachers, and I guess that's what I'm supposed to look like. But listen, you can tell by looking at my clothes that I'm not bought into those styles. I'm probably one of the most old-fashioned 40-year-old people you ever find. You see most 40-year-old preaching my age, they'll have on a T-shirt and holy blue jeans. And all these things. But listen, I don't think that's what God's called me to do. But I know he's called me to preach. And he's given me a mind that I don't worry about those styles. And I try not to be conformed to this. Now understand what it's like to be a teenager. And how you want to fit in a young adult. And how you want to fit in every part of life. We want to be like everybody else. Understand that. And I get it. And I know it's from the human standpoint. But I want to tell you where it's caused us trouble. Is our churches has come to the point of where we allowed the world to tell us what we're supposed to look like. We've allowed the world to tell us what even the church is supposed to look like. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you're getting old-fashioned right here. You're right, I am. I was thinking about this, and I thought, Lord, we're having a bunch of visitors come, and they're not going to come back when I begin preaching this stuff because they're going to think I'm bad traditional and all this stuff. Listen, I don't even worry about traditional or contemporary. I'm worried about preaching you the Word of God this morning. It tells us not to be conformed to the world, but it tells us to be transformed. And listen, our churches are becoming so bought into this stuff because we're so worried because our benches ain't full, and we decided that God's lost control and that he needs my help. God, what can I do to get people to fill these benches? Listen, if I've got people here other than the ones God wants here, you know whose I've got? I've got the devil's. And you know what? I'm not going to conform to the world. I'm not going to look like the world. I'm not going to act like the world. The Bible tells us not to be conformed to the world. And I began thinking, now listen, y'all going to really get mad at me now. We went over there to the Winter Jam. And everybody besides me and Penny and Kim and Stephanie and all the ones that's over 20, all the rest of them loved the group called Skillet. Oh, they just loved it. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not being mean. If they didn't have the words on the screen, I don't know a single word they said. And I saw people in there that was holding their hands up. And boy, they was just worshiping. I was thinking, God, they're hearing something I don't, because I don't know a single word he said. We got out of there and we got in the van, and I asked him, I said, boy, how'd y'all like skillet? And Penny said, I feel like I've been hit in the head with a skillet. And I said, amen. But I was thinking about how far we have come of trying to drag the world into the church, because we worried about having pews filled and worried about young people coming. Listen, I want young people to come and I want them to be here. But listen, I want them to be here to get the word of God. I want them to be here not because I've conformed to the world, but because I'm transformed from the world. I want them to be here because they truly wanted a relationship with a risen Savior, because they desire something different than what the world's offering. And we was there in that place, and when that group skillet come on, they lowered the man down from the ceiling. And I don't know about you, but to me, that was the most ungodly thing to be done. The Bible plainly teaches I ain't supposed to draw any attention to myself. And the whole crowd was on him. And as he was coming down, boy, they're just having a ball. Just how great it was. And boy, how that thing must have been of God. I want to tell you something. That is how far off the mark we have gotten today. As a church, this thing is about Jesus Christ. It's not about anybody coming down on a winch. It's not about any man, what he looks like. It's about Jesus Christ. And anything other than that is conforming. If y'all want to fire me, somewhere else will take me. Amen. But listen, we've become squeezed into that. We've become pulled into that. Look around us. Look around us. It's just what I was talking about. Now again, I'm not against the clothes people wear. You come here, whatever God allows, puts on your heart to wear. If it's decent, brother, it's fine with me. I've heard people say, well, I won't come to church because I've got certain clothes. You're not going to bother me with that. You're not going to bother me with any stuff. But what I am saying is that I don't believe in conforming to a certain thing just to try to get things to happen. And you see it on TV all the time, and you see it in all this contemporary stuff. And again, y'all going to think I'm bad against this, but I'm not. But you'll see men up there, and they're dressed like they're going to the Walmart, or they're dressed better than they're going to Walmart, and they're supposed to be standing behind a pulpit representing God. And now listen, if the President of the United States, whether you like him, hate him, or the Queen of England, or whoever it might be, if some dignitary was coming and you was going to meet him, you know what you would do? You would take the best thing you've got, you would take, you know what was respectable, and you would wear to meet that person. And now why in the world will anybody get up before there and be proclaiming the Word of God and expecting God to meet with them in a place and not be decent? It just don't make sense to me, and it can't be right, because the Word of God says don't be conformed, it says be transformed. Boy, that was probably about like something somebody 80 years old supposed to preach. But it's the truth today. It's the truth. But this thought process is not biblical. It's not biblical at all. It goes against what was taught by Jesus. He never once conformed. He loved the very worst of people in his community, but not once did he try to fit in. Not once did he try. Listen, he went to a woman at the well who had all these husbands, and never did he try to fit in with her. He didn't say, well, there was one time I had five wives. He didn't do that. He let her know he was different, didn't he? You go to all the people he fed, he didn't once try to make them understand he was something he wasn't. He went to them, and he loved them, and he showed them something that he was different. You see, I believe the problem with our churches today is when you look at a lost and dying world, you don't see any difference than you do in our churches. We act the same way they do. We talk the same way they talk. We walk the same way they walk. We're in the same places they're in. And according to the Word of God, it says, be not conformed, but be transformed. Amen. Woo! I'm glad I started running. I'm in shape a little bit. Now listen, to zip up this word conformed, yes, we need to accept a world that's different than us. Yes, we need to love on them. Yes, we need to let them know that we love them. Never in the Word did Jesus ever condemn anybody because of the lifestyle they was living. He let them know the lifestyle was wrong, but never did he say, you cannot be saved. He never did tell them you get out of the community because you live this way. He never did say you get out of here because you're that way or that way. He went to them, he loved on them, and he urged them to be transformed. So listen, never am I saying that we need to shy away from people that are different. I'm not saying we need to shy away from people that don't look the same we are. But what I am saying is we need to let them see a difference in us. They need to see something different about me. When they know I'm a preacher of the Word of God, I need to act different. I need to talk different. And I need to be different around them. And so do you. The Bible says we're peculiar people. That means different. We're different. And boy, we're living in a time when different's not good. Difference not good. We was talking this morning, you see some of these places that are starting new churches again. I'm not down them because they're reaching a lot of people. I understand that. 2,000 people in there, if the word of God is preached, somebody's going to hear something that'll probably change their life. And I'm all for that, but I want to show you something. When they go to build these buildings, you know what they do? They don't want anything that looks like a church. They don't want anything that looks like a church. And when they go to name something, they don't want anything that sounds like a church. They're trying to distance themselves from anything that's in people's traditional mind about what church is, because church has been condemning, and preachers preach against sin, and preachers teach that things are wrong. And if we do that, surely people won't come to our pews. Well, listen, honey, if you come here, you're going to hear it because I ain't preaching anything different. If you want to live the way Jesus lived, you're going to be different. You're going to go to different places. You're going to talk different, and your walk is going to look different. You're going to be different. And all them people that point at you, you're going to have to live with it. You're going to be different. You're going to be different. Listen to what else it says. Be not conformed, but be transformed. Conform means to become like what's expected from outside. That's what conformed is. You can take one thing and you can conform it into something else. You can take a piece of material and you can twist it into something. You can take a piece of metal rebar tear and you can heat it and you can make it something, can't you? You can conform it to whatever shape you need it to be. But when something is transformed, you know what it is? Transform means to transfigure. That's what it meant in the Hebrew and the Greek, meant to transfigure. You remember anything about on the Mount of Transfiguration? What was happening? Jesus was changed from one thing to something else, wasn't he? It says the meaning of transform means transfigure in the Hebrew and Greek. And in our words, it means to change a thing into a different thing. To change something that was into something that was not. To change something that is into something that is not supposed to be. It means completely changed. Completely changed. Boy, I begin thinking about this. How do we do that? Now I understand how we conform. We conform because outside pressures come on us, and we conform just like a potter does a clay. He puts pressure to a piece of clay, and it becomes something. But how in the world do we transform something? And what God's talking about in his words transforming is my mind, is my walk. And the way that I become transformed into what God wants me to is renewing of my mind. That great thing I told you about that's more powerful than 100 supercomputers, that's more powerful than everything man's come up with. How in the world do I change? How do I transform what I am? The Bible says by the renewing of your mind. You know what renew means? Make new again. How does that happen? It's only done by the Holy Spirit of God. As it comes in, but listen, once we become believing on Christ, how do we continually transform our mind? How do we continually renew our mind? Oh, that you know what's coming next. There's no other way than the Word of God. There's no other way to be transformed than the Word of God. Get in the Word. Romans 10:17. Listen to what it says. Romans 10:17. I must not have had that one down. They're looking at me crazy. Let me flip over here. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are you transformed? From hearing. From hearing what? The word of God. From written in and reading the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. What did I do? It was back there yesterday. The women threw it away. They're trying to make a fool out of me. Wait till she gets home. Let me flip over here. I had no idea. Hebrews 4:12, listen to what it says. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, listen, quick. That means it's alive. That's what that means in Greek and Hebrew. It's quick, it's alive and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing under the soul and the spirit. The joints marrow is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, that's how powerful the Word of God is today. And it's why we must be in it. It's why we must be reading it today. It's to understand something, that God changes us. He transforms us through the Word of God. If you don't want to be conformed to the world and to be transformed, you must stay in the Word of God. You must live as the Word of God says. And listen, I think today we tend to think that these 66 books, maybe it's just a suggestion. Maybe it's just a good idea if you want to do this. If you want to live as God called you to live today, there's no other way than by this book. Now listen, what that verse right there means in Alabama terms is there's going to be some things in it you don't like. There's going to be some times you don't want to hear it. There's going to be some times you don't want to sit and hear a man preach about it, of what's in it. It's going to hurt your feelings. And listen, the more I study it, the more I find out something, y'all, is I am sorry and no good for nothing without God. But with Him, I'm made right. And that word teaches me that I'm no good. It teaches me I'm a sinner. It teaches me I'm a sinner saved by grace is the only difference. It teaches me of how much I need God. It shows me what I'm doing is wrong. Listen, how many times you've been reading the Word of God and all of a sudden like a little light bulb comes on and says, boy, you need to change some things. You need to change what you're looking at. You need to change what you're seeing on TV or on your phone. You need to change what you're reading. You need to change the people you're around. How many times has that happened to you? If you're His, it'll do it. The Spirit of God dwells in us and it'll let you know what is wrong. You see, what happens to us is I say, oh, that would be a good thing. And if I was going to get close to God, I must do this and I'll do that tomorrow. I put it off. But if I want to truly be renewed, I must get in the Word of God. Listen, if I truly want to be renewed, I must stay in prayer. I must stay in prayer. James 4. I'll give them just a little time. They faster than I am. James 4, 1 through 10. For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Listen to this when I read this. You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot attain, and you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwell in us lust to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. The first verses I started reading said, you have not because you ask not. You're not transformed today because you're not in prayer. You're not transformed today because we're not in prayer. Hey, it's all of us. We talked about it in Sunday school. Let me ask you this question. This one's going to hurt. This one hurt me. This one's going to hurt everybody in here. When's the last time your kids saw you on your knees in prayer? When's the last time your children even saw you in an old-fashioned altar crying out to God? When's the last time that they saw you even praying before a meal? When's the last time they saw you pray about anything? And we're wondering, oh my goodness, how did we get here? And why is our churches looking like the rest of the world? And why is everything going crazy and we can't even let our kids go to school from fear of being shot and all this stuff? Why is it this way? And I tell you, the reason is because mama and daddy, grandma and grandpa, and children alike are no longer in prayer. You cannot be transformed unless you're in the Word of God and you're talking with God in prayer. Prayer is a two-way communication. We talk and then we listen. And some of us that have a prayer life, we may talk, but do we listen? Do we spend time alone with God and just listen to what He's teaching us? We talked about it in Sunday school. Y'all heard me say this before in the pulpit. The people that's older, I've been around them when we first got in church at Concord, and they would say, what's wrong with churches and what's wrong with our communities is in 1962, Mary O'Hara, whatever her name is, I can't remember it, took prayer out of schools. That's the biggest bunch of baloney that's been preached and taught in school in churches today is because that woman could have never got prayer out of schools if prayer had been important in homes. It never would have happened. The American people would not have let it happen if they'd been praying at home. You want me to prove it to you? Has guns been taken out of homes yet? No. You know why? Because guns are important to people. The Second Amendment's made to protect us from our own government. And we understand if we didn't have guns, we couldn't protect ourselves from our own government, much less people trying to rob us. And the reason that guns are not gone is because they're important to us. And that's the reason that I say today that that's why I say that prayer taken out of school didn't call us to be where we're at. Us getting where we're at is why prayers was taken out of school. Amen. To be transformed, you must be in prayer. And finally, be transformed, you must be around God's people. You're going to hang around somebody. You're going to have acquaintances with somebody. You're going to work with somebody. You're going to be around somebody. Unless they're going to be outside influences. I had a conversation with my workers this week. He was in church when he was young, and the preacher had done some things that hurt him. He'd done some things that led him away from God. And there was a guy come in who me and him got to talking. I asked him, I said, where do you go to church? Because I'd heard this guy talk about spiritual things. He's the one that picked up our clothes, and we got a uniform deal. And the guy come in, I said, so where do you go to church? I've heard you talk about church. He says, oh, I go to a mosque in Birmingham. When I heard that word, I automatically thought Muslim. I said, you go to a Muslim mosque? He said, yes. And me and my dumb cutting up self, I said, you ain't going to come here with a bunch of guns, are you? He said, no, 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 no. And he began to tell me about how great it was. And then I told him how great ours was. And then this guy was hearing all this, and he come to me afterward, and he said, what makes you think you're right? And I began to tell him, he said, yeah, but you're just going by what's wrote in your book. He's going by what's wrote in his book. How do you know you're right? I said, because the one that I'm worshiping, the one that I preach about, and the one that I study about, one I teach about, he lived a perfect life. He was on earth for 33 and a half years. He died a horrible death. He was put in a grave, and 3 days later, he arose. And not only did he raise again from the dead, the Bible says he's alive forevermore on the right hand of God. And not only did the Bible say that, the Bible says that 500 witnesses saw it, and I promise you, as much as people's tried to prove Christianity, it would have already been disproved. This thing is real. It's the Word of God. It is God. How to know and trying to make somebody that don't believe that is tough. I understand it. He walked away and he said, well, I've got my beliefs and you got yours. Let's agree to disagree. I said, I'm not agreeing to disagree with that. I disagree with what you said, but I'm not agreeing to it. I said, ours is alive. It's been proven. I began telling about instances that the Bible's been proven in science and different things. There's apologetic books you can go that'll help you with this. But I began telling him, and he walked away. Didn't have much to say, but I've been praying that God, you enlighten him and show him that it's not about who's right and wrong, that you are right. This is the Word. You are the only way. And I know it's confusing to a lost world. Listen, we must be around godly people. It tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as we see the end approaching. That means you need to be in a church. You need to get you a church family. You need to be in it. You need to draw close to God. You need to be draw close to them people. And they are God's hands and feet on this earth. They're the ones that minister us. They're the ones that talk with us. And I told them downstairs also that, listen, our communities have heard enough preaching. Our communities have heard enough singing. They've heard enough of all this. It's time that people come in our churches, and we reach out to our communities and have community outreach. It's time for them to see the church reaching them and reaching out to them. What does that mean? Meeting needs and being there for them. But it only can come from transformed people, because people that's conformed are worried about what they look like to an outside world. And the outside world don't think you cool if you're out working for somebody else. That don't make sense. We must be transformed. Why do we need to be transformed? Why does the Bible tell us to be transformed? And I'll close. You know I get three closings. Why do we need to be transformed? It tells us in that verse number 2, we need to be transformed. Or we'll know. Let me turn back over. I lost my spot. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in your mind that you may prove. That means you may know. That means you can tell what is good. How do you know what is good? Because you've got the world out there telling you what's good. You've got you telling this is good. You've got to tell me, try this. Well, Buddhism is the way to go. Or this way is the way to go. Hinduism, that's what you need to be, is Hindu. You need to be Muslim, or they're a peaceful people, and you need to be this and that. Why should you need to be transformed? So you'll know what is right. You'll know what is acceptable. What does God accept? I preached a lot this morning, a lot of different opinions. You don't have to agree with me, but you've got to agree with the Word of God. I can say things you can disagree with, and we can still be friends, but you can't disagree with the Word of God. You need to know what's acceptable. You need to know what God expects, what He accepts from His people. You need to know. The next and the last thing is you need to know what the perfect will of God is for your life. That's the name. You talk to people and you'll say, what do you want out of life? They'll say, well, I want to know why I'm here. I want to know my purpose on earth. I want to know why God made me. Why did He form me with that great mind the preachers talk about? It's got all that power. Why did He do that? You'll never know unless you've been transformed. You'll never know unless you are being transformed. Unless you're constantly in prayer, in the Word, and in His study. I want to tell y'all something. If the experience in God's study was for nobody else, it's been for me. It has taught me to see where God's working. I don't know about y'all, but it's plain as day now. I thought, God, how could I have been this dumb for all these years, not to understand what you're saying? And he showed this Henry Blackaby man and his son how to write a book that let me understand to see where God's working. You see, God's at work all around us. But we know this as we become transformed into what God wants us to be. In closing, you get to make a decision. We don't understand that, but in church services, at the end, we always get to make a decision. That's why I believe in having an invitation. You get to make a decision. You get to decide what you would do with what's been taught. Now listen, I don't want you to take everything I say and not, if you want to prove it, get in your Bible. And you look at everything I've told you, and if you find something you don't think I said is right, you come to me. And we'll look at it, we'll talk about it. But will you be transformed today? Will you be transformed? The decision's yours. And Christians, it begins with what is put in our mind. What we're putting in our minds. That supercomputer I told you about, you know what it has to do? Somebody has to put information into it. The computer you got in your hand, which is a cell phone, for that thing to look up Google, you got to put in what you want to search. You got to put in what you want to do. The computer you got at home, your laptop, you got to put in what you want that thing to do. A calculator is no good if you don't put the right numbers in it. Computer is no good if you don't enter the right information. I've got an inventory system where I work. It keeps up with hundreds of thousands of parts we have on cars. But you know what? When I get to a place and I realize a part's been entered wrong, I say, this doggone computer. But it comes back to I messed up, and I don't want to admit it to my boss what it is. I go, this computer done something wrong. But that thing only puts in it what I put in it. It's the same way my mind is. Only is up there what I show it. And we have a conscious mind. We can decide what we look at. We can decide who we're around. We can decide what information we read. And every bit we read is stored. So listen to this. Scientists don't even know how to start to figure how much our brains can hold. They don't know how to compare it to a computer. There's not anything to compare it to of how much information this thing will store. Because we have like 100 millions of neurons up there, and that they form pathways to other neurons and connect one another. And they transfer information back and forth. So when we want to remember something, and all of a sudden you say, oh yeah, I remember that. That thing passed back through. All this information from years is stored. But you know what? The sad thing is, and it sounds sad, but boy, it's wonderful. We don't have a delete button. We can't delete. People that are addicted to pornography, they say once you see that image, you can never unsee it again. It's forever etched in your brain. It's forever there. It cannot be deleted. It cannot be done away with. And I began thinking and saying, God, you made this thing so wonderful. Why didn't you, if you want it to be transformed, why didn't you make it so we could click a button or click a thing in our minds and all that negative be gone? Because if he done that, what about all the memories I have of my grandfather? What about all the memories I have when that little thing was born and that one and the one that's in yonder was born? What about all those things you have, those of y'all that have loved ones that has passed away, whether it be children or husbands or wives? What if you could have had? What if that was a delete? Think of all the information you would lose. God knew what he was doing. God knows what he's doing. Nothing takes him by surprise. He created us just like we're supposed to be. And it's just like it always has been. This thing comes all the way down to free will. I get to make a decision. Today I can leave here of preaching you the truth and studying for a whole week about a message, and I can leave here and not be transformed, not help me one bit. The choice is mine. I've got that choice. You sat here for about 30 minutes, you've listened to me rant and rave and spit and holler and mess words up and all this stuff, but right now, you can go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and you can read it. And everything I said, a lot of that was my opinions. But those two verses is not my opinions. That's God's word. That don't change. That don't change. My opinion may change one day of what my hair should look like and my clothes should look like, but that'll never change. Never. It'll be here when everything else is gone. The word of God will remain. If you would, stand with me. As we come with a verse of invitation, what's shaping you today? What are you being molded by? Your person, your makeup, who you are. What is influencing you? What's deciding what you'll be? Are you being conformed about what the world says you should be and what you should look like? Are you conformed to what, listen, we know in our, it's been proven in the last several months. We can't take what our outside news media is telling us today. They're twisting everything. They can trying to conform our minds to think about what is right. And we've seen even in churches, we've seen certain denominations begin to conform to what the media says we need to accept. And what this person says we need to accept, and that needs to accept. I challenge you today, don't let any person decide for you what to accept. You get in the Word of God, and you let Him mold you and transform you, and that'll be right. Will you be transformed today? Or is there one in here that don't know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus right now, you need to be in this altar. If you don't know Him, you need to be crying out to Him, asking Him to save you. Christian, you may have been here, and you may have been in church 50 years, and you're still conforming to what the world says is right. You need to be down here. You need to be in that pew you are somewhere crying out to God. You need to be changed today. You need to be transformed. And only can you do it by the power of God as we sing.